Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 26th of February, recording at 9:26 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first the highlights on yet another interesting day. Asian stock markets were mostly firmer. Good gain, nearly 2%, by the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index. China steadied, but has been very much an underperformer recently. In European markets, solid gains here across the board. The biggest one that I can see on my screen is the Spanish IBEX index, up 2.13%. And Wall Street had been down, didn't like the producer price increase figures, showing very much an increase in producer price inflation above expectations, reported expectations at any rate. But then the street firmed, and it was helped by a good performance by IBM, which increased its share buyback program and has probably the best pattern among the big technology companies, best chart pattern, that is. So the Dow closed with a gain of 114, and we had 9.5 up on the S&P, and gains all of less than 1%, but it is follow-through on yesterday's action. Also, I should mention in Europe, the FTSE, the UK banking sector was quite strong. Elsewhere, bond prices having been battered recently, a little bit firmer in here today, except for bunds, which are down slightly. Big news here is the US dollar's slump, currently down 740 ticks on the US dollar index. That's taken it down to 74.78, so we're getting right back on those lows of the last several months. And we've got a euro right now at 149.83. I believe that's a new all-time high against the US dollar. So the buck is really being battered in here today. And that's pretty much, well, that's against probably against all currencies. And against that background, now, precious metals, gold, had weakened early on follow-through selling as a result of that IMF announcement, but then rebounded. For instance, bullion drifted down to a low of 927.20. But is currently 948.85, right near its all-time highs to date. Silver went gangbusters. May silver is currently at 1890, having been at 1899.5. And palladium, which had been the leader earlier on, and then had lost some momentum, but it closed out well in here today, up very slightly on the day, but well off its lows that were seen earlier in the day. For instance, it got down to 2,091, but closed at 2,155. The industrial metals were mixed, but copper and aluminium were among several of the bright spots. Energy was a big story in here. Crude oil surged, currently 101.13. That's another new all-time high. As far as the soft commodities were concerned, we saw mostly gains. Okay, you get the picture. So what's going on here overall? Well, let's take stock markets. First, the battle between the bulls and the bears continues, but the bulls, following that selling climax on January 22nd, have had the upper hand slightly more often than not. And that improvement in some of the financial shares is potentially important. Now, what is also important here is that given the technical damage that had occurred earlier on, this is by no means game, set, and match to the bulls. You know my view on this. I said I would give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. In other words, saying that as long as the lows that were recorded last month, as long as those lows held for most stock markets, that I would assume that we had seen not only a short-term low, but at least a medium-term low. And that's still my view. I also emphasized that we would need to see, of the technical evidence we would need to see, we would get choppy ranging activity, and we would need to see these indices form higher reaction lows. Now, a number of them have done that, but if one wanted to put on a bearish hat, one could also say, well, for these US indices and the European indices, that these rallies that we've seen, and I could also add some of the Asian indices, for these rallies that we've seen, some of them are really no bigger than what we had seen following the August lows and following the November lows. And this is just a typical sort of rally ranging phase that sucks people in prior to the bear market continuing. And they can cite some technical evidence that that's the case, in the sense that it doesn't really look different yet for those US indices and the European indices. But if you look around, at some of the fuller money themes, for instance, Owens posted, reviewed and posted these charts today. Some of the resources markets, not all of them, but I think he's commented on South Africa, Brazil, and Canada, and those indices are closing in on their highs. You know how well some of those global infrastructure themes have done, mainly the resources sector, how strong that has been. The commodity, soft commodity producing countries, well, Brazil is represented there, but Indonesia, some very strong gains have occurred. Overall, Russia has rebounded following its dramatic shakeout that occurred last month. So, and then there are a few, some of the Middle Eastern markets have also pushed back up quite rapidly. So, there's some impressive action there, and even if we're going to get continued underperformance by the Western stock markets, and that's a hypothesis, not a forecast, but even if we get further underperformance, again, I am gratified to see that my faith in the fuller money themes, the main ones which I can summarize as emerging markets, although emerging has become a bit of a what's the word I'm looking for? Well, it doesn't. I've lost it for the moment here, but it's not an accurate description to describe the emerging markets or to classify them as emerging and developed markets. Misnomer, I think, was probably what I was looking for. So, what are they? Well, I think of them increasingly as the progressing markets versus the regressing markets. Now, what are the regressing markets? Well, I would say Europe. They don't always regress, and they won't necessarily always regress, but sadly, the USA and sadly, the UK are most definitely regressing right now economically. The progressing markets, well, they're led by Asia, but they also spread throughout the commodity producing countries. And that includes the Middle East. These economies are booming, and that's being reflected, and I think will continue to be reflected in the performance of their stock markets more often than not. Now, when panic hits Wall Street, many of these other markets fall even further on the beta basis. That's always been the case. Not all of them, but most of them do. But they also snap back more quickly, as we've seen in so many instances. And I think that will continue to be the case. But investors who have enjoyed such a good run, or at least they did through that early 2003 into early 2007 period before things started to unravel, I think should not be thinking in terms of a rapid resumption of that type of environment overall. One of the points that I've emphasized and is worth repeating, I think, is that the big reaction for some stock markets extending to big medium-term correction for others, extending to a bear market for some others, has really slowed, in my opinion, and delayed the economic cycle. So we get slower global GDP growth, but most of the world economy is still synchronized in this period of expansion, albeit at a somewhat slower rate, but there's still some pretty strong growth taking place, led by Chindia. And I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. But the point I'm making is that what we've seen on the downside in the stock markets and the economic problems that have emerged from all the credit crunch factors that you probably feel you've heard far too much about. I do think we're overemphasizing these problems. But every time I say that or point out what's not being badly affected by the credit crisis, there's a group of subscribers, bless them, who feel that I'm being nonchalant or complacent about that. I would deny that, naturally, and I do feel, though, that the sort of U.S.-centric focus of analysis has really been utterly preoccupied with this story, rather than looking at it in conjunction with all the other things that are going on around the planet. But get back to my theme here. A longer, slower cycle, and given the technical damage that we have seen in most stock markets, that will most likely necessitate a fairly lengthy convalescence. And even where markets have roared back to their highs, I wouldn't expect them to go blasting up through those levels and put on meaningful additional gains on top of that. I think that wouldn't be surprising if they encountered some resistance up near their former highs and just ranged around for quite a while. So what I'm saying is that if we get upside gains occurring rapidly, well, and some markets will do this, inevitably some will do that, but that's a bonus. And one shouldn't feel that that's actually going to be the norm overall. A lot of markets are going to spend quite a bit of time in lengthy convalescence periods, building support, and that's not a bad story at all, unless one's impatient and is hoping for a quick return of a 2003, 2004, 2006 type of environment. I don't think we will get that. Now, what about long-term potential? If markets are going to go sideways, should we be shifting portfolios around rapidly? Well, not this investor. I'm not going to do that. And really, psychologically, I've prepared myself for perhaps Perhaps China and India see a lengthy convalescence. Again, that's not a forecast, that's a hypothesis, because another hypothesis is that I could be very pleasantly surprised on the upside. But I'm taking a long-term view on those markets, and I'd rather be a buyer than a seller in here today. And, you know, if China were to spend 2 years moving sideways, and again, that's a hypothesis, not a forecast, in a way it almost doesn't matter in terms of the really big picture. Inevitably, some of these strong growth markets will get pauses. As far as China is concerned, though, I have said myself, and Owen's also written on this theme today, that I think we could be quite near a very important important bottom. I've mentioned that before in terms of the Atlantis China Fortune Fund. I'm posting that report today, and it's got an interesting investment investment comment. Okay, what else to mention here? Precious metals. Now, I've said that we are well into the mature stage of this medium-term upward cycle, but of course, if you look at the two previous medium-term upward cycles, you'll notice that you will see, and most subscribers, certainly veteran subscribers, are well aware of this, that the last stage of those moves is really the glory bit. That's when prices become parabolic. And we have seen that with platinum, and it still hasn't broken down, and although it lost some momentum, it hasn't come down enough to really frighten the bulls all that much. And silver's gaining momentum here. We have seen some very powerful gains, and it's not just against the weak U.S. dollar, although that has certainly helped. And the resources theme really continues to attract money, and it's not just the precious metals. Of course, the industrial metals, most of them have sprung back into life, and the foods have been running riot for quite some time. This is a crowded trade, but it's still in form, and it doesn't face all that much competition, although I suspect that competition will increase over time, and not least from stock markets. What sectors of stock markets? Well, I've already mentioned, of course, the fuller money theme, but I also think income funds. This is a good environment for income funds. When stock markets had been rallying for 4 or 5 years, the income that was available had really fallen, and today it's gone up quite sharply, and there are real opportunities here today among those income funds. And I think that people who understandably do not want to have all of their assets in fuller money themes should look at income. Okay, anything else to mention here? Well, this dollar situation and the strength of precious metals, is that going to cause any type of jawboning or government type of reaction? In the past, we've certainly seen Europeans become quite vocal when the euro is pushing upwards so strongly. The dollar has taken out some, although not all, of its lows on the U.S. dollar index. It's still within that overall range, barely. But to use a bit of technical jargon, the overall pattern that we've seen for the last few months, that predictable ranging pattern, is looking very much like a descending triangle. In other words, you have these sort of relatively flat lows, and you have these descending highs, indicating that the selling pressure is gaining the upper hand relative to demand. A lot of people have forecast a major dollar recovery this year. I don't see it on the charts, and I don't see the fundamental justification for that move either. The top currencies remain the resources currencies. The most undervalued currencies remain the Asian currencies. And of course, some of those currencies have quite attractive yields. But I would not expect the world central banks to remain silent in the face of this renewed weakness for the U.S. dollar. So we should watch out for that. We shouldn't be too aggressive in the precious metals area. We should definitely have trailing stops on leveraged positions. As far as those who are holding gold bullion or silver bullion is even better in my view. I would not be too worried, except we are going into the latter stages of this medium-term move on the upside. That will be followed by another reaction and consolidation, possibly lasting for quite a few months. Some of you may want to step aside if you see these precious metals accelerating upwards too quickly. Long-term bulls who just want to stay in and ride it out in expectation of further gains, I think will be rewarded for their patience. I wouldn't be surprised if the gold shares get a run in here in the short term. That's justifiable by what we're seeing in the metal prices. And that's pretty much it. So roll on tomorrow. I'm sure it'll be equally exciting. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.